Praise God. I hope everyone's doing as wonderful as I am today, excited, ready to go. I know, you know, this is one of those mornings when we have to pull out the quicken your mortal body scripture. For those of you who've been at camp meeting, you know, all week long, you know, it's one of those times. I mean, you know, everybody on staff fights who doesn't get to speak on Sunday morning after camp meeting. It always ends up to be me. I don't, because I'm dumb enough to do it, I guess. You know, but then again, after the quicken your mortal body scripture, then you think about, this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We're going to be excited. And you know what? Just watching that video recap made me excited. I mean, you know, it kind of, you know, re-energized what went on. You know, and sometimes too, when we have revival meetings, people get all excited. Then all of a sudden there's a letdown afterwards. Amen. Not amen, I guess, but amen there is, but not amen that's good. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. I told them 2 Corinthians, hopefully get the right scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. Actually, I typed in 1 Corinthians, but whatever, on my iPad, it kept hitting 2nd because I guess it once I want to put number 2 instead of number 1 for whatever reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1 says this. Paul's talking. He says, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words." I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way. "I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches. I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." You know, sometimes I feel like Paul. I feel like my messages are really plain, but I just come and give you the word. You know, in this scripture, verse number 5 is really what I want to point to. It says, "I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God, the poder de Dios." By the way, that's my book, Power of God. It's out there in English and Spanish available. I know that Paul was talking here about his message, but this morning I was just thinking, this was not a scripture that I was planning on using, but when it says this, "I did this so you trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God," well, I started thinking about this. So many times in life, we, because of human wisdom, we forget about the power of God. We start to face situations, and according to our human wisdom, it looks like there's no way we're going to get through this, but we have to understand that we have something greater than human wisdom on the inside of us. And so I'm here to tell you what happens is when we have great revivals and great things and people shouting, running, dancing, doing whatever like we did Friday night, everything's great, but then the real world kicks in on Monday morning. Things start to happen, or some people who have traveled back to wherever. You know, what happens is a lot of times we get to a point and we're so excited, but then real world happens because, you know, the thief does come to steal, kill, and destroy. We all know that verse because I say it all the time. But what happens is the devil's like, "Okay, you had a great week. That was good. But did you forget about this bill? Did you forget about this diagnosis? Did you forget about all these situations at work? Did you forget about, you know, all this stuff?" You know, and that's the thing, is the devil will try to bring in human wisdom. And like I said, I get it. I mean, you know, I got a degree in accounting. I understand facts. But I also understand that sometimes we have to overlook the facts and we have to put our trust in the power of God, the poder de Dios. I mean, it doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter what you think, you know, is happening. It, like I said the other day, doesn't matter what the economy is. Doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. And the deal is, can you run, shout, and dance in your own house? Because if you can't run and shout and dance in your house, I'd just rather you don't do it here. Because really, in some ways, you're being a hypocrite. You're only running and shouting and dancing when somebody else does. You know, and I'm not trying to be mean or rude, and I can tell you, you know, we've been doing this this ministry stuff for a long time, and I can tell you the singers know, and we, you know, singers band we talk about, we know we can play a certain thing or get to the Holy Ghost music, dun dun dun, and we can have people start running just because they hear the dun 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 dun. I mean, you know, you can make people run, but do they really understand what's on the inside? Do they really understand why they're running? Do they really understand why they're dancing? Do they really understand why they're happy? Because, you know, it shouldn't be because we come around other believers who are excited. It should be because we're excited because the greater one lives on the inside of us. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. And like I said, I don't care if you run here. I don't care all these, you know, these kind of things. But so many people only get excited when other people get excited. Well, you know, you should figure out how to be excited all the time, because if not, you're going to have a miserable life. And it doesn't matter. And so I was thinking, really my first scripture that I really was going to talk about before that was 2 Timothy 1:6, and we all probably know the scripture. 2 Timothy, first chapter, verse 6. This is Paul talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, this is, I said New King James, right? I want to make sure I switch here. He goes, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. So Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of us. Now, a lot of times whenever you preach this, people say, well, but Craig, Brother Paul did not lay hands on me. You did, but Brother Paul didn't, you know. Well, you know what? I don't care whether Paul laid hands on you or not. Unfortunately, if Paul did lay hands on you, you wouldn't have electricity, you wouldn't have running water, and so, because you don't live in Paul's generation. But you know what? Even if Brother Paul did not lay hands on you, we have the scripture for that. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. So whether Paul laid hands on you or not, the greater one lives on the inside of you, and you need to stir the greater one up whenever things around about you look like they're falling apart. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Now, when I hear this verse, stir up the gift, and I always think of chocolate milk, and you can ask my sister from the day I was born, probably not maybe the day I was born, but as long as I can remember, every night before I go to bed, I drink chocolate milk. A lot of times in the morning time too, but nighttime. Actually, I don't drink as much chocolate milk anymore because I found out I was getting a lot of extra calories just drinking chocolate milk. But you know, it's because I see the TV commercials, milk does your body good. And why not add some extra sweetness to your milk? Because you need those extra calories. Oh, sorry, extra calories. But anyway, you know, making chocolate milk now, used to back in the day, I would use, you know, Hershey syrup, do it that way. But as I became an adult, for whatever reason, I switched to rich chocolate Ovaltine powder. Doesn't matter whether it's syrup or powder, you know, when you put, like, especially when the powder, I always put the powder in first, so the powder is already in, and then I pour the milk in, and I can't see the powder no more. But then I get the spoon out, and I begin to stir it up, and the powder and the milk mixes together, you know. But the thing about it is, that's what we have to do, is we have to know that the gift of God's on the inside. The greater one's there, but sometimes we forget about the greater one whenever we're facing the wisdom of men. And that's the whole point, that the devil's trying to get you to forget about God and think about your problems. Because when you think about God, you can't think about your problems. Because with God, you know, there is no problem. But what happens is that we need to stir that gift up. We need to get that spiritual spoon out and stir it up. Now, here's the thing, is sometimes, like the other day, I was making my chocolate milk. And, you know, I thought I put enough in, you know, because I use heaping teaspoons or whatever. But I guess my teaspoons weren't heaping enough. And I'm like, man, I need some extra chocolate. So I had to put another spoonful in. But I'm here to tell you, the great thing about it is we don't have to add any extra. We already have all the power we need. It's already there. It's just that we got to mix it up. We got to mix it together. Now, also, too, sometimes you realize it doesn't do as much as with the powder, but with the liquid, if the chocolate milk set for a long time, or for a while, if it's set for a long time, you're not going to really want to drink it. I actually have done this because something happened and I had to go run and do something. I've actually set my milk glass in the refrigerator, and when I came back, it was all the chocolate was at the bottom. It wasn't chocolatey anymore. I mean, chocolate was there, but it didn't taste right. I mean, of course, I'm not stupid enough to taste it because I can see it. You know, of course, the Bible says, taste and see the Lord's good. But anyway, but before I taste it, I start to stir it up. And I start to stir it up. And I stir it up until I get it to the right consistency. And that's what we have to do. See, unfortunately, when it comes to our spiritual walk, a lot of times we wait for the next big meeting to stir up that gift. And pardon my pun, you know, we wait till the next meeting to kindle our flame for you ladies. You guys, you got to wait to call your arms. And you know, you shouldn't have to wait till September or November to get reignited again. But a lot of times, or I know some people say, well, they got to look at the calendar. I got to find where brothers, you know, somebody's out preaching so I can go stir their gift up because they don't know how to maintain their gift on their own. And that's the whole point. Paul was trying to tell Timothy, you can do it. You can maintain your gift on your own. You don't need anybody else to stir it up for you. You don't have to have the Holy Ghost track behind you. Dun 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 dun. And if you really want that, we can probably put that out there and sell it in the bookstore and you can play it. You know, if that's what you need to stir your gift up. But you shouldn't need music to stir your gift up. You shouldn't need anything to stir your gift because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And a lot of times we don't think about it. You know, it says greater is he that's on the inside of me than he's in the world. Any kind of situation, you know, that goes on, it doesn't matter. You know, and that's the thing is we don't realize because the devil tries to get us out of our game is that we don't face these situations alone because the greater one's on the inside of us. You know, but... And that's why we can't be moved by what we see because, you know, it's not about human wisdom. It doesn't make sense sometimes. How is this going to work out? How are we going to get through this? And like I said, I've got to a point where I just decided I don't know. And I don't have to know. The Bible tells me not to lean to my own understanding. I'm not going to understand because sometimes, I mean, even me, I try to, you know, we're all rational human beings. We all have human wisdom and we're trying to figure this out. How is God really going to do this? How is he going to do it? And when we're trying to figure out how, we're not believing he is. So you need to stir up, you know, get rid of your human wisdom and stir up your spiritual emotion on the inside. You know, because sometimes what happens is I found out when people start shouting and dancing, some of the times the reason they're doing that is so they can forget their problems. All right? And they say, well, I'm dancing in spite of my situation. And that's fine. I remember one Sunday morning, we had the choir singing, and one lady just took off just dancing and crazy. And it really wasn't that crazy of a time, and I kind of wonder why. And she was saying something, and you know what she was saying? Someone stole her car that morning. Somebody stole her car that morning. And so she came to church and she wasn't really that happy, but while she was singing, something on the inside, I mean, just it broke and she began to rejoice and be happy. Well, you want to hear the testimony? Well, she wanted to paint her car. Her car needed painting. So her car was brought back for whatever reason. 3 days later, whoever stole it brought it back. And unfortunately, they painted it blue, which is what she wanted was a blue car. So hey, that's the rest of the story. But the thing about it is, she shouted even when things looked miserable. Even when it seemed like, I mean, you know, nobody wants to get their car stolen to come to church and get excited about it. And I'm here to tell you, you know, just because it happened to her doesn't mean someone's going to steal your car and paint it blue and give it back to you, all right? So, plus, maybe you don't want a blue car anyway, so this lady happened to want a blue car. And so, you know, but she was able to stir up the gift even in midst of, you know, seemingly an impossible situation. But, you know, it's funny because Paul says, I remind you, and sometimes you got to be reminded over and over and over again. All right? You know, some of us, I think, are harder hearing, or some people think we're harder hearing. You know, and so what should happen is that we need to train ourselves that when we face a humanly wisdom, you know, situation where it seems like we're not going to make it, we need to train ourselves, instead of looking at that situation with human wisdom, I'm just going to stir up the gift because I know the greater one's on the inside of me, and I know I'm going to make it. I don't feel like it, so I got to stir this gift up. And once you stir the gift up, once you get excited, you know, then you're not thinking about your situation anymore. You're thinking about how good your God is. Now, you know, I like the New Living Translation of 1 John 4:4. It says this, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. We've already won a victory. Not we're going to be victorious. We have already been victorious. And see, you act differently once you've won than you do while you're playing. Now, obviously, the Olympics going on, I don't want to talk about opening ceremony. I'm just going to talk about the Olympics themselves because, you know, there's the greatest athletes in the world are playing a sport. And once they come and get their medal, they're going to get excited about their medal. But, you know, we should get excited while we're running. We should get excited when it seems hard. We should get excited even before we start. You know, how would you like to be an Olympian and already know before you even start the contest, you're winning the gold medal? And there's nothing that anybody else can do in the race to keep you from winning the gold medal. Because that's how we are with the devil. There is nothing that's going to keep you from winning except you. You are the only one that will keep you from winning. The greater one's not going to keep you from winning. All right? See, the devil is going to try to make you feel like a loser when you've already won. Why would you be a loser? I mean, I've never seen anyone come up there, they put the gold medal on, like, I'm just a loser. Oh, golly, I can't believe this. Now, I've seen people who might get the silver or bronze medal and thought they should have won, and even though that was great that, you know, they got a silver medal in the Olympics, but nobody remembers, you know, so-and-so had 6 silver medals. Well, great, but we remember people who get 5 gold medals, but the silver medals, you know, it's not that big a deal. All right, and I've seen people who got a silver or bronze medal not as happy because they didn't win, but the person who won is pretty happy. Well, the deal is, you're always a winner. Always. Every time you play. Every time the devil throws something at you, you win. You win. You win. You win. You win. You win. And see, the only reason you're not winning is because you don't believe it. You don't know it. You're not stirring up what's on the inside of you. You're looking at human wisdom. You're looking at, well, I don't know how I'm going to win. I don't know how it's going to happen. Well, it's not for you to figure out how. It's for you to believe. The Bible doesn't say only believe and help me figure out how we're going to do this together. See, you know, I know sometimes people say, well, it's me and God, or God and I, or whatever, but you guys are not on equal playing fields. Yeah. All right, it's God, and you're kind of in the background. You're just hanging on there, you know, you're riding his coattail, so to speak. You're the ultimate name dropper. I mean, you're dropping Jesus Christ, you know, everywhere, you know, there is. It doesn't matter. In the name of Jesus, we're going to get through this. In the name of Jesus, it's all been okay. Jesus took care of my situation. Jesus took care of my problem. They're greater. Jesus lives on the inside of me. He's with you. And see, that's why you need to let that Jesus out. You need to start up on the inside. Hey, I got the greater one on the inside of me. I've already won. It's actually over. You're like, well, I don't feel like it. See, we're not moved by what we feel. Well, it doesn't look like it. We're not moved by what things look like. It doesn't seem like it. We're not moved by what things seem. You know, and that's why, we say it over and over again, but, and that's, I mean, I thank God for our heritage, but you should too. You know, like I said, the Bible says it. I believe I'm going to settle it. It settles it. There is no, you know, there's no other way. So when you buy the t-shirt or whatever, you need to believe the t-shirt. You know, we need to believe. If God says it, why do I question it? Why would my human wisdom question the Spirit of the living God? Well, I would never question God. Yes, you are. You question God all the time. We just read, the greater one lives on the inside of you. You've already won the battle. But you're worried about how you're going to win the battle when you, it makes no sense to worry about something that we've already won. You're like, yeah, but Craig, we haven't even started the race yet. Or we're in the middle of the race. Yeah, but we know the outcome. I mean, we already know the outcome. Well, how's that going to happen? I don't know. You know, see, people start asking questions. And once again, definition of faith, according to Webster's New World Dictionary and yourdictionary.com, is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. So I don't have to know how it's going to happen. I don't have to have any evidence. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, that my faith is the evidence of things I don't see. I believe anyway. Yeah, but human wisdom says it's not going to work out. I don't care about human wisdom. Well, yeah, but I went to school. Well, who cares if you went to school? Doesn't matter how many degrees you might have. You know, I would rather you use deodorant so that's better than the degrees you might actually have, because it makes you smell better at least. I mean, degrees don't mean anything. I mean, you know, that just means you spend a lot of money and a lot of time in classrooms. You know, pretty much everything I learned in accounting, you can do with a computer program and no knowledge of accounting at all. Now, I know how it works, but you don't care how, you don't care all the details. All you want to do is put the numbers in your machine and get the right, you know, things. Now, I mean, just because I know all the you know, how to do all this stuff, that's great. If your computer program fails, you can call me in. But more than likely, you won't need me unless you have CrowdStrike. Then maybe, you know, that's a whole another crazy thing. How one program can mess the whole world up. All right, but there is one devil who can mess the whole world up. And he's trying to get you to listen to human wisdom. But we need to look beyond our human wisdom. You know, now another scripture that we need to think about when we're facing situations is James 1:2. New Living says it this way, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know, it's all okay. You know, yeah, but I have all these situations happening. So? You know, the greater one doesn't leave because you have situations happening in your life. The problem is you forget about the greater one and you forget about your spiritual spoon to stir up that greater one, because that human wisdom keeps trying to come in and you're like, well, how am I going to get through this situation? And, you know, That's why I love the faith shield, because we're just going to have faith. We're just going to believe. How do we get to the last situation? Yeah, but this one, this is more money. Or this is a bigger disease. Now, here's the thing. You know, a lot of us, the problem is that we're too busy putting everything on a scale. Okay, rank everything 1 to 10. You know, just yesterday I bought something from somewhere. They sent me a survey. They wanted me to rank it from 1 to 10. You know, would I buy from this person or do, you know, all these kind of things? You know, everything's on a scale, and that's where we're at. I mean, obviously, I haven't seen it yet because I can't. Meaning, you know, the new movie Twisters is out, and anyone who lives in Oklahoma needs to see that movie because it's, you know, true to life, maybe. But we have, I think it's called the Fujita scale, the, you know, F1, F2, F3, F4, F5, you know, and it is interesting, you know, doing tornado, you know, going out and helping with people that have been hit by a tornado. You know, when you get hit by an F5, usually your house is no longer there. All right. And I was actually, this is, you know, I think differently or whatever. And so here I am, we're out there helping people in tornadoes, you know, and, you know, we've done some F5s, and these, I mean, there was a gentleman who had just retired. He was the chief of a police in Reno, El Reno, and he retired, and an F5, he had just built a brand new house, brand new barn, you know, had this ranch. He was going to, you know, retire and just enjoy life. I mean, just happened, just he got everything done. And all of a sudden, F5 came in and just destroyed his house, destroyed his barn, livestock. Some of them, you know, got you know, were killed. And I mean, he's a grown man, military guy, army, you know, went in the army, then became a policeman, you know, served policeman for 20-something years. And this guy's crying, you know, like, you know, everything I worked for just got devastated. You know, then you got another guy's house, another situation. It was only an F3. Now, the F3 didn't tear the house up, but the roof was sideways, and they're going to probably have to knock the house down anyway. You know, my thought was, well, at least it was only an F3. Who cares if it's an F3? He still did major damage, all right? But we put everything on a scale, and we think, you know, if we have an F5 sickness, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I can handle the F1s, the F2s, the F3s, or whatever, but an F5, you know, and that's why, you know, when we get a diagnosis like cancer, like, oh, well, they're going to die. I mean, our mind thinks they're going to die. Even though we want to speak faith, we, our mind thinks that's bad. That's cancer. God's going to have to really work on this one. And it's the same way when it comes to financial things. You know, we have our you know, you need $100. That's an F0 bill anymore. I mean, that's like, you know, you need $20,000 by next week. That might be a little bit more. You need $1 million, and that's an F5. But the same God that can deliver you from the F1 can deliver you from the F2, the F3, the F4, the F5. It doesn't matter what kind of scale you're trying to put your sickness, disease, your financial situation on. You need, you know, God doesn't have a scale up there. He says, I'm going to meet all your needs. I don't care how big or how small they might be. Just trust in me. And when, you know, human wisdom looks like it's not going to happen, you know, don't be afraid. In fact, that's the, you know, next thing that Paul told Timothy is he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I think that's pretty important because one of the first things that we do is when we're trying to look at our human wisdom and our human knowledge is we begin to be afraid because we have been told, you know, there is no cure for this. Or we have been told, you know, I don't know how you're going to make it financially. You know, but that's when we have to not be afraid. It doesn't matter. It's gonna be okay. The greater one lives on the inside of me. You know, like I said, I can consider this an opportunity for great joy. Why? Because I know the outcome. We have already won. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. I'm going to store up that gift. I'm going to get excited. And I'm not going to, you know, it's going to be okay. Now he says this, for God not given us a spirit of fear, but power. See, we have to understand that we have, you know, we just sang about the other night, the wonder working power of the blood on the inside of us. It's going to be okay. Or some of you like the, you know, that old hymn, Dad likes, he likes it whenever you do the four powers. Power, 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 wonder working. You know, but we need to be reminding ourselves the power that's on the inside of us is bigger than the bill that was in my mailbox. The power that's on the inside of us is bigger than the diagnosis that the doctor has given me. The power that's on the inside is bigger than any kind of emotional situation that I'm going through. Because you know what? Sometimes we don't just need physical, we need emotional healing. We for whatever reason, and here's the thing, I don't know, I mean, I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, well, Craig, I can't get over this. Well, you need to change the way you talk. If you keep saying you can't get over this, you won't be able to get over this. But you need to think, the greater one's on the inside of me, and every time I think about this situation, I'm going to cast down those imaginations. I'm going to forget about those situations, because the greater one lives on the inside of me, and if I need a hug, he's going to give me a hug. And if I need to get through this, he'll go, yeah, but I can't look at that person anymore. You know what? When you look at that person the way God looks at that person. God can look at that person and he doesn't remember their sin no more. He said, well, yeah, but I'm just human. Yeah, but the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. I mean, one of the greatest things, you know, I mean, I was listening, you know, there's all kinds of different things, but I listened to an interview on some situation where somebody killed them, you know, murdered their son, and these guys actually got up and testified on behalf of the murderer for mercy. And they, someone the interviewer asked him, well, why? I mean, this guy killed your son. He goes, yeah, but I forgave them. He goes, the biggest thing I want them to see, find Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior so they can be able to do the same thing. I'm thinking, I don't know if I could have that same kind of emotion. But we can, because the greater lives on the inside of us. And you think about, you know, then, you know, somebody else, they can't get over someone being mad at them on social media. I mean, you know, you put things in perspective. Who cares about some guy that said something mean on social media? It doesn't matter what I mean, social media, I mean, who cares? Yeah, but it embarrassed me. I get embarrassed all the time. I usually embarrass my own self. I don't know how many times I've said things and I'm like, that's pretty embarrassing. But I said it anyway, so I'm going to own up to it. Sometimes I think I'm just an embarrassment, so it doesn't matter. I can laugh. I can laugh at myself, and I don't care. And here's the thing. I don't care who likes me and who doesn't. I always wonder why when people not like me anyway, but that's your problem. You know, in my life, you know, I would like more people to like me than don't. But if you don't like me, that's cool. But thank God, I have found out, I mean, for whatever reason, when people start deleting friends or whatever, you know, I usually never get deleted. I know an individual that was mad at God or whatever. They deleted all their friends, even their parents. Well, you know, and actually, but they didn't delete me for whatever reason, even though I believe just like their parents. And actually, this person actually wrote me and you know, and just basically shared with me some things about their parents. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that this guy, you know, had some issues and their parents were being too judgmental, you know, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I didn't get deleted because I try to love people. I don't care. I mean, you know, I'm not happy with what you're doing, but you know what? I still love you anyway. And that's what God does. God loves us. You know, it doesn't matter what people say. We can get over it. It's gonna be okay. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power. The power of the Lord lives on the inside of us. All right, and that power. We have the power to forgive as well. I don't know why I'm saying it, but I just feel led. Sometimes when you forgive somebody, it really lets you heal emotionally. Because you've been, as long as you hold on to it, that's why you can't get over it. You're like, but I don't know how to let it go. Well, there's a movie called Frozen, and there's a song there. Everybody knows the Let It Go song. If you don't, you know, whatever. And so the next time that emotional charged up self starts charging up. See, here's the thing. You know how to start up that emotional charged up self, but you can't start up the gift of God's on the inside of you. But once you, then I want you to remember Frozen and start singing, let it go, let it go. You know, just let it go. It doesn't matter. It's just let it go. All right. So trust me, if you'll remember this, it'll help you. I do it all the time. You know, I joke about this and, you know, but, and I even have people now have done it now, you know, and that I always think about children's church or whatever, you know, when you're happy, you know, clap your hands. And I have found out sometimes when I'm not really happy, I just start clapping my hands and it makes me laugh. And I've told people that before and it works. When I feel kind of miserable, like I'm not going to make it, I start clapping my hands and I'm like, you know, the reason I start laughing because I'm thinking, why am I so stupid to clap my hands at 55 years of age? You know, I'm sitting here singing a stupid song that I learned in children's church. You know, but it makes me laugh. And I am happy. And I know, and I have to tell myself I'm happy. It's an opportunity. I'm considering myself an opportunity for great joy in my life. I'm going to have joy. Now, the next, it says, you know, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love. You know, so we have the ability to love. It doesn't matter. The love of God's been shed abroad in our heart. We can love people that are unlovable. And Jesus did. You know, what would Jesus do in your situation? He would love them. It's going to get through. And then the next thing says, and of a sound mind. What is a sound mind? That's that peace that passes all understanding. Even though when you don't, no one else can understand why you have peace and you have peace. You're like, you know, I even heard this happen to someone one day. Someone would visit them because they had got diagnosed with cancer and the doctor did not give them a good report. And one of their friends went and visited them and they were pretty peaceful. And they were like, well, how can you sit there and be so peaceful? And they were sharing with them because the great one lives on the inside of me. And that's the thing. Even whenever you get bad diagnosis, even whenever things are against you, you think everything's against you. That's just the devil being the devil. That's to remember scripture. What's the Bible say? No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. It's not going to work. I'm going to make it. And I can have peace. Why I have peace? Because the greater one's taking care of that situation. Well, how's he doing? I don't know. Ask him. That's the thing, you know, just when people get, number one, why are people all in your business anyway? You know, if I'm in a quote unquote faith battle, why are you in my business? Who cares what you think? Well, I'm just trying to give you the facts. Well, that's human wisdom, right? I don't need your human wisdom. I'm not putting my faith in your human wisdom. I'm putting my faith in the power of God. I know the outcome. The Bible is clear. It says I've already won a victory. Yeah, but you don't look like a winner. You know what? God chose a lot of people that didn't look like winners. David didn't look like a winner. He was the least of all his brothers. You know, that's the thing. Sometimes people like look down on themselves or whatever, like, well, how can God use me? But you know what? God used people that were seemingly losers. I mean, really, if we get all down to it, the Apostle Paul, who formerly was called Saul, was really a loser he was out killing Christians. He wasn't the ideal choice. And, you know, if you were God in heaven above and you looked down and you looked at all the people that he could call to you know what, let's just pretend, okay? Here, you're God and you're thinking, okay, we need to write this Bible thing. We need to call a man that can help many churches around the world and then put him in a book so it can help many Christians around the world. So who can we pick? Here, this guy who's killing Christians, that's the one. He's the best candidate. I mean, that makes no human wisdom. God called a guy that was not on his team. Yeah. And this guy not only utterly changed his life, he utterly changed yours and mine too, just by letters that he wrote, you know, thousands of years ago to his churches. These scriptures I read every day. And this guy formerly was a Christian killer. So you don't think God can use you? You're not as bad as Saul. You actually like some people. I mean, if he can use, I mean, have you ever thought about these kind of things? I mean, the Apostle Paul, I mean, God chose Paul because, see, he can see potential on the inside. And it might be also, too, he could see the Apostle Paul whenever, you know, he was driven, whenever he got focused on something. You know, sometimes the people, the worst sinners make the best Christians because, you know, right now they're focused on sin. But if you can refocus them on the things of God, instead of going out and convincing other people to sin, now they're going out and convincing other people to turn their life to Jesus. Now the devil was going to tell you, said, you know, God can't use you because you messed up too bad. Oh yeah? Well, God used Paul. God called David a man after his own heart after he kind of screwed up a couple times. In fact, someone's killed just so he can take their wife. That's not a good thing. That doesn't sound like the Christian thing to do. But God still called a man after my own heart. God can use you, you know. Once again, if he can use a donkey, he definitely can use you. All right. So sometimes, because we have the loser mentality, you know what? We're you know, it's all going to be okay. You're going to make it. He can use you. You know, I think peace is an awesome thing. You know, it's a whole lot better to sleep in peace than it is to be worried up all night long. We've all been there. All night long, we toss and turn because we're worried about situation. Well, if you're worried about situation, you hadn't cast it on the Lord, you don't realize the greater one's on the inside of you. You know, instead of not being able to sleep, you should stir up the gift. And actually, I have found that out. I know this sounds like, there's been times where I haven't been able to sleep, and sometimes I don't know why. I just start praying. I get under other tongues, and you know, before I know it, I just fall asleep, you know, in the glory of God. But I found out when you begin to pray, you quit worrying about your situation. And why am I worried? The greater one's on the inside of me. I've already won the victory. All right, two more scriptures, both from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:31 says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, the devil's going to try to be against us, but it doesn't matter, because the force on the inside of us is greater than him. So use the force, Luke. You know, well, my name's Mary. Okay, use the force, Mary. And I'm not talking about the Star Wars force. I'm talking about the greater force that's greater than anything that you will ever face. And it doesn't matter if God is for you. And God, and there is no, and I you should say, you know, forget about the if. God is for me. But some people are still wondering, well, if God is for me? No, you need to know that God is for me. He is for me. He's causing everything to work out. And like I said, I like the way Todd White says of this: if God is for me, who cares who's against me? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's against me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through. I'm going to stir up the gift of God's on the inside. I'm not going to look at human wisdom. I'm going to know that the power of God is present, and he's taking care of the situation. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to have fear. I'm not going to, you know, be concerned. I'm just going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the last verse I want to read, also for Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all, I like that word, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's all going to work out. Yeah, but I don't see how. That's human wisdom. I don't care about your human wisdom. Forget about it. I mean, sometimes you got to forget about it. Sometimes you have to overlook your human wisdom and understand when it doesn't look like all things are going to work together for good, when it looks like all things are working together against you, and it looks like this situation is not going to work out, it's not what it looks like. But it will be what it looks like if you start swaying and you forget about stirring up that gift. And you start to worry and you start to fret. And see, the whole point is the devil wants you to forget about the power that's on the inside of you. Because God can't make you stir that gift up. See, you have a free will. If God could make us do things, he would have made Adam and Eve not be able to sin. They had a free will. They did it anyway. And you have a free will. God can lead you. He can guide you. He can say, hey, don't forget about me. I'm here. It'll all be okay. But then, you know, what happens is like, once again, I would say we live in a cartoon. The devil on our shoulder is louder than the God on the inside. Because sometimes that still small voice isn't loud enough. And that's why sometimes we have to go to a revival meeting so God can speak to us, you know, because we weren't listening in our own house. You know, or like, well, if that guy can get excited, I can get excited too. But you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on. We should be able to stir up the gift of God because you know what? It's all going to work out for good. Everything, and even when it doesn't seem like it's going to work out for good, it will. It will. And I know Denise brought this up about my son Blake the other day, you know. And so this morning, as I was, you guys don't know what I always share, you know, the feed. Like, you know, you should share the feed too. I always share the feed. But then I remembered that my son was preaching this morning, and I shared his feed too because I'm proud of him. Because when it looked like it wasn't going to work together for good, it did. He's out preaching this morning. And like I said, if you weren't there to hear Denise's message, you need to get that message. You know, because he talked about even if, it doesn't matter. Even if everything's falling apart, God's still with you. Amen. Stir up the greater one on the inside of you. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. All things are going to work together for good. The problem is you're like trying to figure out, how is it going to work? I don't care how. How's a question? How's not faith? The greater one's on the inside. He's already worked it out. Yeah, but I don't see it. I'm not here to tell you. You're not going to be able to see it. You're just going to believe. Only believe. And I know that sounds too simple, but praise God that God wants us to be simple. And I, you know, you guys didn't really know him, but my grandfather, probably the most simplest man that I ever met in my entire life. Everything was simple, black and white. It just, you know, he didn't worry about stuff. You know, and I thank God that I'm probably the most like him of anyone else on this planet. I am more funnier than he is. He's the one thing that I've learned is, you know, not to worry, not to fret, and it's all going to be okay, and God's going to work it out. And it doesn't matter how. If God be for me, who can be against me? It's going to be okay. I'm just going to stir up that gift to God, and I can run, and I can shout, and I can dance in the middle of the battle. You know, now I can run, shout, and dance whenever we get the victory as well. Whenever I say we already got the victory, but whenever we see the victory. See, you know, there's getting the victory and seeing the victory. The problem, the thing is, you already had the victory. Jesus already made you victorious. He crowned you the champion. He already gave you the gold medal. You know, but the thing about it is, we maybe don't see the victory yet. And one day you will see the victory, and you can get excited then, but you should get excited now because you are victorious. You know, that doesn't make any sense, but you know what? a lot of things in the Bible doesn't make any sense because we're not looking for human wisdom. We're not looking at human emotion. We're not looking on what things look like and things feel like. And if we're looking at what things feel like, I wouldn't even be here this morning. I'd be in bed. Sleeping. All right. I didn't feel like ministering today. And a lot of you probably didn't feel like coming to church. Why are we here? Because, you know, we need to get pumped up. We need to get excited. Some of you are probably just here just to support me because you feel bad I had to preach this morning. Some of you don't even know why you're here. You know what? It doesn't matter, you're here. So, I want you to remember a couple of things, and I don't know, just my own mind thinking. When you're facing a situation, I want you to remember, you can do it. You can do it! And when you start to worry, I want you to let it go. Let it go. All right? And then the last thing I want you to do is don't worry, be happy. Like, and I know that sounds, well, that's pretty crazy, Craig. You just did all these natural things. Yeah, because you can do it because you can make it. You're going to get through it. You need to let those situations go. And why can't I not worry and be happy? Because the greater one has got it all taken care of. God's got this. I'm going to get through this situation. I've already won the victory according to 1 John 4:4, New Living Translation. We've already won. So why am I worried about something that's not even relevant? It's not even relevant. You know, well, the reason I'm worried is because I don't see how. That's when I have to stir up that gift. That's when I have to get my chocolate milk spoon and stir it up. And when the devil tries to beat me over the head and say it's not going to work, I just get my milk spoon and stir it up more. And I get excited. And I don't wait till the next revival meeting to go to get excited. I get excited in my own room. I get excited in my own house. Get excited whenever I get bad news. Doesn't matter. The news doesn't affect me. I'm not affected by your news. I'm not affected by your natural human wisdom and human emotion. And I get it. That's what the facts are. And sometimes, you know, when it comes to a financial situation, you want to see the facts. But the facts are, we're going to make it regardless of the human wisdom facts. And if you don't know how, it doesn't matter. We don't have to know how. I ain't worried about it. We win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we thank you that whatever we're facing, the next situation in our life, trials, troubles, things going on, Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us to remember to stir that gift up and help us to remember that, you know what, we're going to make it. It's all going to be okay. We're going to get through this situation every single time. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter that it seems like there is no way out. We the greater one lives on the inside of us, and we're going to get through every situation every time. But Father God, we just thank you right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's someone here in this auditorium that doesn't have the greater one on the inside of them, that they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this morning they'll come to the saving knowledge of him. Across this auditorium, if you're here and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't have the greater one to lean on when I'm going through that situation. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you don't leave this place without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on the inside. Or maybe here this morning you say, Craig, you know, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I want to publicly rededicate my life to God today. Because you know what? I've just let things of this world overtake me. And I want to rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here this morning, Sir Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I've been in church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, you can this morning. You can have what my grandfather would call a know-so experience. You can know this morning if that's you. across this auditorium, if anyone here that needs to be saved wants to publicly rededicate your life to God or want to have a no-soul experience, let's lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium right now. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for laborers coming across their path. We thank you, Father, that they will be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. Want to sing something?
The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. And I am not afraid of the evil enemy or of all the threats that he made. 'Cause I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the grace. The greater one's in me, the greater one's in me, the mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. The greater one's in me, the greater one's in me, the mighty Holy Spirit is living in me.
The greater one,
the greater one's in me, the greater one's in me. Is living in me.
The greater one,
the greater one's in me, the greater one's in me, the mighty Holy Spirit is living in me.
Amen. I want you to remember the greater one's in you next time you face some kind of difficulty. You're going to get through it. You're going to make it. It'll all be okay. Amen. Amen. Well, God's a good God. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you with us this morning. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you back. We have a gift we want to give you real fast at the North Lobby. It'll only take a few moments. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, the pastoral staff is headed to the different doors. I'll be at the west door. Denise and Don will be at the east door. Rob and Sarah will be at the north door. Tad and Amanda and Bill and Tony will be at the south door. Amen. Don't forget, be back here 6 o'clock tonight for another wonderful service. God is a good God. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight.